The first thing I wanted to ask you is, because I've been so familiar with what you do, I've read a couple of your books, I've seen you talk even on issues with domestic violence, and now with what you're doing with the US military,
yeah,
I have to ask specifically about women at the moment. What is your greatest hope in all that you do and the legacy you're leaving? What is the hope that you are giving to women when it comes to money?
Yeah, that I hope women stop using the excuse that they're a woman for why they can't be more and have more.
Yeah.
And that they go so far beyond this women equality with pay and things like that, and realize that they really can own the power to control their destiny. That they really can, but they're the ones that are going to have to do it because nobody's going to do it for them.
Do you think we get too bogged down in the pay inequality, the patch?
Totally.
Okay.
Yes. And, you know, a long time ago, I remember being with Anderson Cooper on CNN when there was this big hubbub here in the United States about, isn't it horrible why women get paid less? And Susie, how do you feel about that? And everybody was interviewing. And what was so sad for me, it was that everybody was looking at a way that the government needs to change so that it's people are forced to pay women more. And I was always like, have you all lost your minds? That women need to force people to pay them more themselves. And a woman who just simply stops putting herself on sale and is willing to say no out of respect for herself versus yes out of fear that she might lose her job or her family won't love her or something will happen, that a woman who could just give to herself as much as she gives of herself could do anything and have everything that she wants. And I hopefully am that role model for people. Because especially in this industry, if you're in the financial industry, women just don't make it to the top.
Mm.
Women just, if you go to these conferences, you can see the number of women and count them on, you know, one hand.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that in 1998, the 9 Steps to Financial Freedom was the number one selling nonfiction hardback book of all nonfiction hardback books, not just finance books. It would sell 1 million copies in a month. And it was number one on the New York Times bestseller list for literally 1 year straight. But when Business Week magazine named the top 10 books for that year, there wasn't one book by a woman on that list.
That just sounds bizarre, given where you...
But it is how it was. And it was right then and there that really, Bianca, that I realized that I don't have to be on anybody else's list but my own. And that I was going to name my own prices and what I wanted, and I was not going to be afraid. And I wasn't going to turn my back on the battlefield. And it, you know, anything I ever asked for, I got.
So I know your background because you talk a lot about how tough it was for you in the beginning, how you got started.
Yeah.
If women are in that position now where they are financially cash strapped, though, isn't it difficult for them to get to the place that you're talking about? And
and a woman has to understand that nothing is difficult in her life, and that word should not even exist in her vocabulary.
Even if they feel blocked in their workplace from earning more, and they have this gap, and they have a boss
listening. What they should do is if they have to be willing to ask for what they think they're worth. And I have a saying, and it's one of the laws of money, which is when you undervalue who you are, the world undervalues what you do. And when you undervalue what you do, the world undervalues who you are. And it is simply our fear of rejection, our fear that they're going to let us go, our fear of what are we going to do. So, you know, if we ask for something and they say no. So it's normally how you ask for it, with the power and the conviction behind it. And what allows you to have that conviction, what allows you to have it, is when you don't have any credit card debt, when you do have at least a 6 to 8 month emergency fund, so that if something happened, you could carry yourself through to the next time.
Do you think that's a universal thing, the 8 month emergency savings?
And you're, I do.
And you're talking about just having the expenses covered.
That's right. Because I think now what's interesting about money is it really has become a global economy. It's not much difference anywhere in the world. You know, if everybody's suffering, everybody's suffering. It's not like Germany's doing great now and this one's doing, it's everybody is in the same economic boat. And so there's certain things that make people all feel secure. And it doesn't matter where they are. And people feel secure when they have money. It doesn't have to be a lot, but when they have enough money where they know that if they got sick or something happened to them, they would be okay for a good half year, three quarters of a year, when they know they don't have any debt. And so what happens with that is when women in particular feel like they can take care of themselves and especially their family, then they feel powerful. And when they feel powerful, they have more energy. When they have more energy, they work more efficiently. So power attracts money, which is another major law of money. And the reason that it attracts money is that people control money. It's a person who will give you a pay raise, a person that gives you a job promotion, a person that gives you your paycheck, or whatever it may be. So in life, powerful people attract people. Everybody wants to be around a powerful person. Everybody.
Mm.
They just do. You want to eat at a restaurant that has a lot of people in it because it has a lot of energy. So the power, the energy of that place attracts other people to want to stand in line, even if the food may be better in the restaurant that's empty next door. You will go to the place that has the energy. So if a woman knows that she can stand in the truth that she has no debt, that she has a little bit of an emergency fund that will carry her through, she feels powerful. And when she is powerful, she attracts money. And her boss and the people around her will feel the power.
Mm.
They'll feel it. And then she has them.
So with that, I mean, that power obviously works on the flip side. And you have that, it makes me think of issues of financial bullying. And I've heard you talk on domestic violence and how that's all interrelated.